I'm excited this week. I know I'm often excited. I'm very excitable. But I'm particularly excited for two reasons. Number one is I'm praying for the safe arrival of our sixth grandchild this week. It's due on Tuesday. So I'm excited about that, as you can imagine. I'm also excited that we're starting a new series this morning. And it's on Psalm 23. And the whole church went, wow, that's fantastic. Well, of course, I think it is. You know Psalm 23. And what it lovely to hear Sarah recite Psalm 23 to us. And if you read the notes that I've put out for this particular session, you'll see that I've headed it up, that to know the shepherd better, okay, which I hope is something we all want to do, then we need to learn the shepherd's psalm. And I'm praying and hoping that by the time we finish our series together on Psalm 23, there won't be anybody that can't get up and do a Sarah Stoica. So on the last session, and this should empty the house, on the last session, I'll just pick somebody to come up and say, well, you recite the Lord's, the Shepherd's Psalm this week. Now, we're on Psalm 23, as you can see, and I didn't quite know how to head it up. But I had that kind of light bulb moment when I picked my eldest granddaughter up from her first day back at school after the summer holiday, and I asked her, I said, Esther, how are you getting on with your new teacher? And she thought about it for a little while, and then she said, Granddad, she said, I think he will be quite sufficient. which kind of amused me. I thought that was really funny. I think he would be quite sufficient. But you know, that may be fine for an 8-year-old girl just starting out on year three and having a heart to learn. But for those of us, you know, who are having to come to terms with some of the harsher realities of life and some of the bigger struggles, let's be honest, quite sufficient just will not cut it, will it? That's why I'm going to call the series, and kind of Paul's, you know, given us a forward sense on this, Total Sufficiency. Total sufficiency, because that is what I hope we're going to discover as we go through this beautiful psalm together, that you and I have got a shepherd in the living God who is totally sufficient for every need that we have and every danger that we face. As Paul confirmed it to the church in Philippi, remember, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And I love that little phrase there at the end, in Christ Jesus, because that means that our needs are met according to God's goodness to us, not our goodness to him. Isn't that a relief? It is for me. We don't have to be good for God to be good to us. Wow. God is good to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. And if you want a blessing this morning, when you get home, here's something you can do. If you want a real blessing this morning, when you get home, go online, if you can get online, and Google the song by Scott Wesley Brown, He Will Carry You. And it doesn't matter which version of the song you listen to, just listen to the words that start like this. I promise you it's worth it. There is no problem too big. God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall. God cannot move it. There is no storm too dark. God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep that he cannot soothe it. For if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know my brother, I know my sister, he can carry you. And some of us have that sense this morning. You know, we're here to be carried, you know, kept safe by the shepherd. And even if you don't like the song, and, you know, I defy you not to like it. Even if you don't like the song, I'm sure that you can agree. Those words, do they not speak the total sufficiency of our shepherd in the Lord? I think that's a great comfort for us to know that we have an all-knowing, all-powerful, all over, everywhere, and forever God, who wants us to rest in his sufficiency and not suffer due to our own anxieties and lack and limitations. So total sufficiency wrapped up as David writes it here, and we're going to start to explore this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Marvelous thing that the God who created the world out of nothing, and he did, I can have confidence to know that if he's done that, what on earth can there be that he's going to struggle with in my life? And that's what this series is about, the ability of God to meet the need where we're at and what we're going through at all times. If I can summarize it in a simple thought to treasure, the welfare of the sheep is the work of the shepherd. If you remember nothing else, that should be enough to ignite some different thoughts for yourself. We're going to keep coming back to it. The welfare of the sheep is the work of the shepherd. Here is a psalm that brings healing to the hurting, that brings hope to the hopeless, that brings encouragement to the discouraged, and it brings strength to the weak. And thankfully, David has hung the key for us right on the front door, so we can't miss it, because verse 1 of this psalm is the foundational truth for everything that follows on from it, as this thought of total sufficiency gets underlined again and again and again. And we know that our God is the God of all things and all times and for all seasons. And I think that's wonderfully releasing for me as a pastor. And I hope it's wonderfully releasing for you as people this morning. Because I know myself that when it comes to meeting need, I am insufficient. Do you have that sense? Last Christmas, my mother gave me a little stocking filler. Do you remember stocking fillers? One or two of you do. It was a little book entitled Rules for Reverence. Rules for Reverence, in which the author highlights the many and varied ways those of us who are in full-time Christian ministry under God, we're his under shepherds, continually disappoint our sheep. So, for example, this little book, Rules for Reverence, says this: you will receive your first complaint about a service that you thought was brilliant within 10 minutes of arriving home. It adds, just because a microphone is there doesn't mean everyone will hear you. That's another rule, isn't it? If you didn't hear that at the back, you'll get it later. It also makes known, here's another wonderful rule, no one is ever happy about car parking arrangements for any church event, any time, ever. And this particular chap says, Sunday services are so designed that people previously at enmity with each other could have something to moan about together. Isn't that lovely? Now, of course, I understand we're not like that here at Shirley Baptist. I understand that. And I'm not pointing anybody to anything that you might imagine in your own mind. But don't you get the sense from this guy, you know, this particular vicar, that there's a little bit of compassion, fatigue creeping in here. Yeah, that's why he finishes the book and concludes it by saying, as some people will never be satisfied, the key is to find out who they are and spend as little time as possible trying to sort things out for them. We can't please everybody. We understand that. So I'm here just to thank God through Psalm 23 that he is the God of total sufficiency. I'm not here to get you excited about me. I'm not here to get you excited about what we do as a program in the church. I think that's the overflow of you getting excited about him. And this opening phrase says one or two things that I hope will build that this morning very quickly. And the first I want to point out is this, that when it says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want, this is a statement that is very pertinent. It is very pertinent, very fitting, very appropriate. For as we stress it here, and David writes, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's underline that for a minute. And the reason this is pertinent is that we are his sheep. And the sheep need a shepherd like a cricket game needs a cricket ball. We'd be completely lost without it, wouldn't they? Can you imagine all those people running on the field in those lovely whites? Who's got the ball then? What can you do about that? Nothing at all. Psalm 100 verse 3 tells us, know that the Lord is God. Know that it is He who made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now, I hope it doesn't offend you. I know that if you go back into history, even if you look around the world today, there are past empires, there are modern countries that take animals themselves to symbolize their power and strength as a nation and their independence and sufficiency. So you know that the Roman Empire, for one, took the eagle. And of course, the United States of America has an eagle today. Different eagles, but eagles nonetheless. Russia adopts the bear. Hey? I'm going from memory here, seeing a few Romanian folks here. I think the symbol of your country is the lynx. The lynx. Whilst in Great Britain, of course, we're variously a lion-hearted people with a bulldog spirit. No pussycats in here, eh? Isn't that great? But how does God choose to represent His people in Scripture? We're called sheep. We're sheep who need a shepherd. And I hope rather than getting offended by that, we should be stoked that God is our shepherd. You know what shepherds do? Shepherds feed and lead and meet the needs of their sheep, don't they? That thrills me. And what could be more pertinent, what could be more relevant than that, than as David says, to know the Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that a wonderfully comforting thought? You know, I mean, when we were lost, what did He do? He came to find us. And all of we are like sheep. You know, we've gone astray and turned to our own way. When we lack, what does He do? He gives us what we need. Isaiah says, He tends His flock. He feeds His flock. He takes us in His arms. He carries us close to His heart. And He gently leads us on. He feeds, He leads, He meets our needs. Sometimes our need is for protection. Maybe that's what you feel this morning. Sometimes our need is for comfort. Sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes we need, let's be honest, a little discipline. You know? Somebody just to come alongside us and say, do you honestly think that is honoring to God? Is that the direction and the path that you need to be going in? We're going to look at all those different things as we go through this particular psalm. But just grasp that moment there. This is pertinent truth. And that if we're going to have a shepherd who's 24 hours on the job, which every shepherd is, what better shepherd to have than the one who is total sufficiency in and of Himself? Isn't that encouraging? And everybody said, yes, Sean, it is. Move on. We're going to move on. The pertinent statement moves swiftly in to a powerful statement. And David underlines it like this. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. This is no ordinary shepherd. I'm not going to go into that John Lewis. Marks and Spencer's advert. This is no ordinary food. You know, this is no ordinary shepherd. This is the Lord God Almighty. In the Hebrew, Yahweh. We know in Hebrew there's no vowels, so we're kind of guessing as to what it should be. But Yahweh, the great I am. Jehovah God, I am who I am. That literally means I am, I always have been, and I always will be. This is the Lord who is our shepherd. And this name, the Lord, and it's often, if you've got an English translation, you'll know it's the great I am, you know it's Yahweh, you know it's Jehovah, because obviously in the English language, the way that they express that is often to put the Lord in capitals. But this name was highly revered by the Hebrew people. whenever they would read what they had of the Bible in their public meetings, they would always substitute another name for this name because it was too holy a name to use. Only one person could say this name out loud, and that was the high priest. And then he could only say it in one place, in the Holy of Holies, at one time, on the Day of Atonement, when he stood before God on behalf of the people and their sins. That's how holy a name it was. It was revered. You think about that next time you hear somebody say, "Oh my God," OMG. Yeah, we've become a culture of OMG because we've lost the sense of who is our shepherd. It's only ever the name Jesus, isn't it, that gets blasphemed? Told you before. Never hear anybody on a football pitch get kicked and go, "Oh, Buddha," do you? Hare Krishna? No, only the name Jesus. Why? Because the devil knows that the name Jesus is the only name given from heaven among men by which we must be saved. And if we can cheapen the name, we can lose the purpose. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, in the meaning of that name, it's Jehovah Ra. That's how it comes across. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. It's one name, Jehovah Ra. It's good that it's pronounced like that, isn't it? Because Ra rhymes with Ba. He is the shepherd, we are the sheep. I'm not talking in tongues. Ra rhymes with Ba. So it's a good way of learning it, isn't it? There, you've learned a bit of Hebrew, no extra cost, and it's all there. This is a holy, powerful name because every name the Lord bears is a blessing he shares. You know, if you go through the Bible, and you'll have to do it in your own time, but you know, in the Bible, whenever God is named, that name that he's given is linked to a particular act that he has done. So the name that he's got reflects the way he is and what he can do. So you remember in Genesis 22, Abraham calls him Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, because right when he needed it most, the Lord provided for Abraham a lamb caught in the thicket to save the life of his son. Just as Jesus, the good shepherd, became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In sickness, he is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. Maybe you're here this morning, you need healing. Maybe that's a healing in your spirit. There's something within you that's got twisted and bitter and resentful, and it blocks the joyfulness of all that God wants you to experience and express. In battle, he's Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. He's our standard. He's our victor. In turmoil, he's Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. In our wickedness, he's Jehovah Sittenu. The Lord, our righteousness. We can take off the clothes of our unworthiness and trust him for the garments of our salvation. Isn't this a mighty God? This is the Lord, my shepherd. Is that not a powerful statement in your mind? It's certainly a powerful one in mind. As David, once him shepherd himself, remember, knew, it is not until sheep know their need of the shepherd that they truly come to discover what is best about him. Sometimes, you know, it's not until we're in trouble that we know the value of our helper. Sometimes it's not until we're sick that we feel the need to call out for the healer. And it's not until we admit our sin that we can realize the wonder of our Savior. And sometimes I think it takes a truly testing time, don't you, to truly discover who God truly is and what God can truly do. I was thinking of the little boy who was out in the garden one day trying to lift that big stone off the path because he got frustrated that every time he got on his bike, he had to ride around it. And he couldn't shift it. And the father who was watching him inside the house through the window came out and said, "Son, are you having a problem?" He said, "Dad, I can't shift it. It won't move." And the father said, "Son, are you using all the strength you've got?" And the boy said, "I'm using all the strength I've got." And the father said, "No, you're not." The boy said, "I am." The father said, "No, I'm not." The father said, "Listen, I am your father. My strength is your strength. Just ask me to help." And dad moved it from the path. This is the Lord, my shepherd. There's no stone in our way that he cannot shift. There's no problem that we have that he cannot solve. What is it Andre Crouch used to sing? If we never had a problem, we'd never know that God could solve them. Thank God for problems. If it brings us to no other place than the fact that we understand the power in the statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." No temptation we can face that he's not able to save us from. And as I say, as a pastor, and the word for pastor in the Greek, as you know, is the word shepherd, I find it reassuring because, you know, it's my job as an under-shepherd to feed and to lead and to meet your needs in his name. And I know that I can't do it even half well without the Lord shepherding and empowering me with my needs. And if you're a parent here this morning, that's the same for you. Do you think you can feed and lead and meet the need of your children simply out of your own self-sufficiency? No. Look to him, Jehovah Ra. He is the sufficient one. And you know, I would say there's not one of us here this morning that hasn't got some kind of shepherd role to play in someone's life. Maybe you're in a management position at work. Maybe you're a community neighborhood watch officer. Maybe you're a team captain in a sports team. Maybe you're a small group leader or even just a friend. But someone somewhere needs us to feed encouragement in and give them the hope that they long for. And needs us to lead them by example and explanation in the ways of the shepherd, the Lord, who feeds and leads and meets our need. Isn't that powerful? It is powerful and it's pertinent, but the reality only becomes true when we understand this as well, that it's a personal statement. Sometimes this is the bit that's easy to miss, isn't it? I underline it like this: the Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that intensely personal? The Lord is my shepherd. There are those who believe that he is the shepherd. There are those that know a shepherd, but the big question is he my shepherd? One of the readings that I get most asked to read, and one of the songs that I get most asked to sing, and some of you will know this at funerals that I take, is always Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And I often try and share on those occasions that whilst there are many people who know the shepherd's psalm, sadly, there are so few who know the shepherd of the psalm. And so it's so personal. And I have to throw out the question, can you say, as David could say, as I can say, the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. And there's only one way to know that the Lord is your shepherd, and that is to make sure that the shepherd is your Lord. Amen? Amen. The word Lord speaks of deity. The word shepherd speaks of humanity. The one David wrote about is both divine and human, God and man. Does that remind you of anybody? And I'll speak to you of our good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Do you know him? Have you taken him as your Savior so that you know God as your shepherd? I mean, I'll be honest with you. To me, all sheep look the same. You know, I might be that ignorant, but they all look the same to me. But I've got a friend who was a shepherd, and do you know they never, ever look the same to him. He told a group of us, Kathy and I took a group of young people to see him on one occasion. He told a group of us, listen to this, a good shepherd, imagine this, a good shepherd can locate one sheep out of a flock of 2,500 in less than 5 minutes. I got trouble picking some of you up just from the front here. That's amazing, isn't it? How do they do it? He said, by the way the sheep holds its head, or by the way it bleats, or by the way it walks. And the most incredible thing, he said, a good shepherd can even look at the ground where they have been laying down and tell by the condition of the grass or by the droppings they leave behind, which are his. I find that amazing, don't you? It's brilliant, though, isn't it? But a shepherd knows his sheep. And the shepherd knows those of us who can say, the Lord is my shepherd. He knows us by name. He knows us by habit. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And there's no greater freedom, there's no greater joy, there's no greater hope than to have him knowing you. I think that's great. But understand, the Lord cannot become your shepherd until the shepherd becomes your Lord. That's why we have to look at the relationships we're in. Are we honoring God with them? Are we following his path as the shepherd? Are we allowing him to lead and just following where he would go? It's a beautiful thing. And the best of all is that he doesn't just give us everything we need. The best of all is he is everything we need. Isn't that the wonder of it? If we're hungry, do you know who he is? He's the bread of life. If we're thirsty, he's the living water. If we're lost, he is the way. If you need it, he has it. And if he doesn't have it, listen, you don't need it. Time's nearly gone. Let me just quickly try and wrap this up and get us to where we can carry on next week. The other thing I want to say is present, because, you know, the last thing I want you to leave with this morning is a sense of, well, that's all great theory, Sean, but, you know, the great thing David underlines in this statement too is the Lord is. That little word is almost insignificant, isn't it, at one point, but it's the most significant at another because it's written in the present continuous tense. So it doesn't matter where we are, what we're going through. The Lord is, for that situation at that time, all that I need to get through it. See, I don't know what you're going through particularly at the moment. Some of you are hurting. Some of you are excited. Some of you are not sure where you should be. You're completely lost in the sense of where you think God wants to get you and how God wants to use you. But he is sufficient totally for where you find yourselves right here, right now. So give him your day. Give him your situation. And let him meet you at the need that he promises to meet you with right where you are. Because our needs change. Listen, when I was 20, about 3 years ago, I had little need of the Lord to get me up out of a chair when my wife called for me. Can I say now, I'm 27, that need is increasing quite significantly. When I was 6, I remember, even as a 6-year-old, praying hard to remember my times table for a test. And now I find the test is to remember anything at all. You see, needs change. Lives grow and mature, but he is totally sufficient. This is how pertinent and powerful and personal it is. He is totally sufficient for where we are presently at in our lives and for what we are presently going through. And to close, and I'm going to pick this up next week because I think this is perhaps the most exciting thing at all. He finishes with the practical statement. Where's it all leading to? We'll get here next week. The Lord is my shepherd. What is the consequence of that? What is the practicality of that? I shall not be in want. I shall not be in want. So what is that saying? It's saying if I've got the shepherd that David had, and I know the pertinency of that, I know the power of that, the personal intimacy of that, and the present reality in my situation of that, the one thing I'm not going to do is to worry. Because worry is practical atheism. It is basically saying to God, I hear your word, I don't believe your word. I don't believe you're sufficient for me. And that's practical atheism, which I think for some of us is worse than atheism. Because at least an atheist has no pretense to believe in God. Amen? Amen? So we'll pick that up next week. I started with a story about school. I'm going to finish with a story about school because I have a friend who has three boys, and the youngest, Michael, when he just started school for the first time, his teacher commented to him that she couldn't believe that he was already in his first year at school, and asked little Michael what his mother did all day now that three of the boys were all at school. And Michael said, you know what my mother does? Cartwheels. I love that. Cartwheels. I think that is brilliant. And that is what you do when you can say and mean and live and show the truth of the promise that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For there is not enough room in your mind for both worry and faith. You must decide which one gets to live there. And I pray that you'll come to discover what David discovered. The welfare of the sheep is the work of the shepherd. And as we'll see next time, that is what we come to find our rest in. Amen? Amen. Amen. And all God's people said, Bah! Ah. Bah! Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, it's so familiar. But Lord, it's so wonderful. And I just pray this morning that you who are total sufficiency will meet the needs of each and every one that is here. Lord, if we have a need to be stirred to action in regard to something this morning, then stoke that fire. Lord, if we have a need to admit a particular sin that we can't break, then Lord, help us come and ask you to break the chains and set us free. Lord, if our need is for salvation, help us to come and find in Christ the one who died to save us. Lord, if our need is for certainty, help us to know assurance in the promise that you give us, that there's none that can snatch us from your hand. Lord, however big the need, it's all small to you. But Lord, because it's big to us, it's not too small for you to be concerned about. So meet it and bless us with the answer for it, because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.